morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's word.
Morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Okay.
Okay. We're still on the topic of Lazarus, looking at it as a story of transformation. Right, life transformation. And most recently, we've been looking at the topic of the grave clause. We have Jesus calling with a voice of love to Lazarus out of his tomb, right? And we're all familiar with our own tombs in our lives. And sometimes we'll prefer to stay in our tomb, even when the voice of love causes us to come out. And most recently, we looked at maybe some reasons we may choose to stay in that tomb, that there may be some things that bind us. And when Jesus says, Lazarus, come out, it says, he comes out and he still has the grave claws on him. And so these grave claws are things that bind us. What were some of those grave claws that you saw, kind of discussed, that you saw in your own life?
Fear.
Fear?
Self-injection.
Fear of like spiders or?
No, just fear.
Because if you're in a tomb, there's probably going to be some spiders.
Yeah, I guess fear of having to deal with the mess I created, fear of failure, fear of what people think and say about me. You're something new, and you get comfortable in your own stench.
Yeah, I guess that. Anybody else want to comment on that? I mean, isn't there some truth in there? We seem to get very comfortable in our own stench.
Yeah. It becomes a way of life for me, at least. You know, and I don't know, like you said, I don't know anything different. I don't know if I go out of my tomb, out of my stench, if what will happen to me. So it's just easier and more comfortable for me to stay where I'm at, which is a fear of, you know, not knowing
going to
happen.
Yeah, not knowing what's going to happen. That can produce some anxiety. Life is not static. It's constantly full of change. So if we cannot learn to trust God as we are confronted with change, we will be very anxious people. Right? And we may miss out on a lot of things because we are afraid to confront the unknown.
Yeah. Fear of failure.
Yeah.
Take a risk and have it not turn out the way we want. And fear of feeling even worse than we did before. You know, fear of rejection or, is that failure? Finally taking the initiative to take action about something and then screw it up, fail, or not have it be the fix-all that we thought it was going to be.
So yeah, we talked about self-rejection. We talked about the fear, all kinds of fears. We talked about the guilt. And yes, there have been times where we admitted we're wrong, but sometimes we cling to that a little too long, right? And guilt starts controlling us. And we talked about some shame. We talked about some blame. We talked about disappointments in our lives. And there are probably other grave claws, right, that bind us. And if we're not going to sit down and name them, much like and we looked at Mark's gospel when Jesus confronts the demonic in the garrison. He says, you know, what's your name? He says, my name's Legion. So if Jesus is going to confront the grave claws, it's going to be with a name. Right? If we're going to confront them, we have to be able to name them. So today, then, we're talking about, well, how do we remove the grave claws? That's kind of our topic for today. So it's right on the heels of what we looked at the other day on naming grave claws, and that's John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 44. It'll be the second part of that. The dead man came out, the dead man being Lazarus, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. That's kind of our focus for today. So if our topic is looking at life transformation through the story of Lazarus, what do you hear in that one sentence? Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go.
And community is really important. Other people are really important in your transformation. God can work through others to help.
Okay, so what you're saying is we recognize Jesus didn't walk up to Lazarus and just say, I mean, he calls him out. He didn't walk into the tomb and grab him, pick him up, and carry him out, like, you know, some damsel in distress type thing. In his arms, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, he's not doing all that. He just calls him by name, and the name that he calls him is his own name. And he calls him in a voice of love. Lazarus gets up, comes out, and Jesus does not walk over and take off the grave cloths on his own. He instructs those that are around. He instructs the ones who probably turn their head because, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinketh. Jesus instructs those who turn themselves away from our stench to be the ones to take off our grave clothes. You're right, Ross. Jesus is he's establishing community, right? And he's really instructing that if we're going to be a true biblical community, there's going to be some stinky stuff going on. There's going to be some stinky people. And not necessarily literally, but everybody has grave claws. Everybody has a tomb. Everybody's on a journey towards transformation. There's going to be stench in the church. And gentlemen, I'll be probably the first one to tell you, if you attend a church that doesn't have a little stench in it, then it's probably not a place you want to stay. Turn around and run, right? Mm-hmm. The church is supposed to be the safe community where you can show up stinky.
Right.
And so one of the things that, like what you're saying, Russ, is in community, Jesus recognizes we need each other, right? We cannot name our grave claws and remove them on our own. We need the help from others in this whole process of what we call life transformation. Gentlemen, I mean, you can share your own story a little bit. I mean, haven't you tried to do this on your own?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's... We can't. And yes, that's why it's a little uncomfortable. Us, we've just come out of the tomb and we're looking for a little help at Lenawee County Mission. And there we discover one of the main emphasis Pastor Steve has at Lenawee County Mission is accountability. Well, I've been living my tomb alone. There hasn't been anybody to hold me accountable. When I show up at Lenawee County Mission, now I got a house full of men that are trying to help with accountability. They're trying to help me name my grave claws and remove them. Like, that's what we do. But we can't expect the community to give us what only Jesus can give us. Now, we've been in certain relationships of community. We've been in relationships with a significant other. We've been in relationships through employment. We've been in relationships through education. We've been in relationships through a faith community. And sometimes people will look to the church. Sometimes people will look to their spouse. Sometimes people will look to the parent, to the teacher, to the boss to be the Jesus for them. And you've heard me say that, you know, God's not a thief, right? We've all been at the porcelain God. Oh, Lord, if you take this away from me, I'll never do this again. And God says, look, I'm not going to steal. You have to give it up. If you give it to me, I'll take it from you, but I'm not going to steal it from you. So there are times we cannot place upon, even though Jesus is building community, we cannot, the community does not replace Jesus. But a true biblical community will find the spirit of Jesus, its force, its power in its center. So Jesus is in the community. So let us be cautious that we're not trying to substitute the community for Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? And so here we have, in the last story, we have the figure of Jesus, and we have him encouraging the others to help unbind, so that collectively the Lazarus, the Jesus, and the witnesses to this miracle are all empowered and encouraged to participate in helping one another. But it is interesting that Jesus doesn't do, not only are we not to look at the community as a replacement for Jesus, but we need to recognize Jesus is not going to do what the community is to do. Yeah. And so there are times if we're going to be part of a community, Jesus is telling us, look, there's going to be some stinky tomb experienced people coming into your midst. Help them, unbind them, and let them go. If through me you have found healing for your wounds, you need to help others who are wounded.
Right.
Eventually, then, this community, because of its own transformation through the individual like Lazarus, through the individual such as ourselves, Lazarus has been resuscitated. Lazarus has been transformed. You can say Lazarus has been resurrected. And Jesus, in a sense, standing there, is resurrecting a community. Right? We become a resurrected people. Right? And as resurrected people, we're a resurrected community that reaches out and helps one another. I'm going to read a little bit from Eugene Peterson's The Message, right, because he uses kind of a specific word that's consistent with what we're looking at today. And Eugene translates Philippians 2 this way. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made a difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with one another. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put aside yourself and help others instead. If you are in a community. So what do we see Jesus doing? He's sharing his love and compassion through a voice that calls him out. And he shares his love and compassion of empowerment to the others who are witnessing, who at the sight of and the smell of the stone being rolled away, turned away. His invitation is to have them turn back towards the sick. And so when we think about a community, a good healing community, all right, a good biblical community that offers healing and life transformation, there's a couple things that we're going to find that characterize this community. And you can think of Lenawee County Mission. These are some things that we try to practice here. One is this community needs to be a safe place. It needs to be a place where you can feel safe But where do we find safety? I mean, if you walk into a certain community, and they might even be a church, to where it looks like everything's perfect, and you know you're not perfect.
Right.
Do you feel safe? What does that mean, you don't feel safe? Not that somebody's going to stand up and point a gun at you.
Feel uncomfortable.
All right, why?
You don't feel like opening up.
Okay,
you don't.
Bingo, yes. You can't be vulnerable. You don't feel that your story is really going to matter in that community. Yeah, you're right. You're not comfortable. You're not safe. And so Jesus saying, look at you people weren't comfortable with the stents. Turn around. Lazarus is coming out and unbind him. Take off his grave cloths and welcome him into this community. As stinky and as bound as he is. So part of this community is we have to have a responsibility to welcome those who stink, who are bound, so that they feel safe, that they're vulnerable, that they'll take the risk to what is next, share their story. Communities are made up of people who share stories. And gentlemen, as addicts, as homeless men, we can be fully aware that what we want as smelly people is for others to listen to us. If you meet a homeless person on the street, I mean, yeah, most people are like, well, you know, not sure I want to give them $5 or anything like that. I don't know what they're going to do with the money. And that's fine. That's up to the individual. All right. But I've said over and over what a homeless person wants more than anything is for somebody to sit down and listen to them. Because in listening to them, you're acknowledging that they're alive, that they're here, that you're not turning your eyes away from there, that you're not locking your doors, that you're ignoring them, that you're making them invisible as neighbors in your community. Isn't that what stinky people want, is somebody to listen to them? And if you don't feel comfortable in there, you're never going to share your story because you already know that they don't even want to listen to me. That's not a safe community. That's not a biblical community. That's definitely not the community Jesus is establishing here with Lazarus in Bethany. If you're going to do that, then this community needs to be full of grace. We read a lot of Brennan Manning in here from the Ragamuffin Gospel. And we learn there that if we don't have this grace for those whose cheese has fallen off their cracker, for those who are beat up, bedraggled, and burned out, right? If grace doesn't abound to where you feel welcome and open to and safe to share your story, this isn't a community. This community needs to be hospitable, right? It needs to practice hospitality. And the classic story is the Good Samaritan. What makes the Good Samaritan the hospitable person? Does anybody recall how that Luke?
He helped somebody that was considered.
There's a key line in there. It says he was moved in his heart. What moves Jesus to want to help Lazarus? It's his deep sense of compassion. We will be a hospitable community. All right, anybody ever gone to a hospital and found everybody to be well?
No.
Oh, right. Inhospitable. The hospital comes from the word hospitality. Hostels, hotels. These are where we welcome guests. And these guys, if you go to a hospital, you go there when you're sick. If it's going to be a true biblical community, it has to be a community that welcomes the sick in all their stench. Why? Because the members of that community were once stinky and sick. And that opens up a more genuine welcoming committee, so to speak, because we're going to be more accepting. Jesus accepts Lazarus' stench. It does not forbid him from transformation. And he recognized that he has some, that he's bound, that he's tied up. He has some limitations. And the only way we're going to help others with their grave cloths, right, is if we're going to accept them that they have grave cloths. Because, gentlemen, we have grave cloths. And we heard a voice that called us out.
I think us, because of having our grave cloths and having them removed, should be even more open to removing others' grave cloths. I mean, we've been there. We know the feeling of that stench, and we know what it took to get us out of our stench.
Yeah, exactly. Wounded people.
The stench is comfortable.
It's very familiar. It is very comfortable. As Frank said, we've learned to live with it. And a true biblical community is an accepting community because we have found acceptance through Christ. Much like Lazarus did with all of his stench and his grave cloths, Jesus still accepts him and calls him out. We have found acceptance through Christ, therefore we are called to accept others, the same way that Christ accepted us. Gentlemen, he accepted every single one of you with all of your stench. We can't all of a sudden turn to the homeless person or to the next addict that comes knocking on the Lenawee County Mission going, nope, you can't come in here because you stink. We don't take stinky people anymore. We've all been, disinfected. So you can't come in here. That would be like what if hospitals did that? So these are the things that we can see that in our life transformation, we need to, Jesus is now inviting us, right, to be participants in this community that continues to advance his way of love. Well, I thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. If you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.